Good morning. I didn't even need that, Dave. There we go. Good morning and a big welcome as well if you're joining us online. A very, very happy Labor Day weekend. Yikes. Back to school on Tuesday. Next Sunday, we'll be having how many services? The first one starts at? The second one starts at? I wonder who's going to be here at 10 o'clock next week. Speaking of back, I was thinking that way back on May the 11th, I had the privilege of introducing the summer series Walking Together, A Journey Through the Psalms of Ascent. And this morning, I have the privilege of wrapping up the series, so it's a joy for me to do that. We noted back then that Westwood's journey is now into our 65th year. We'll be turning 65 in November. We'll be getting checks from the government. It's going to be great. No. No. But you know, you think 65 years of mission here in our city, here in the province, in the country, and literally around the world. And I'm really excited in September, Pastor Nolan will be launching our new series next week, but we're going to be having some of our different missionaries visiting in September and early part of October, and so that's going to be a fun time as well. Our journey has been marked by a lot of change, things that can bring us new discoveries, pleasant surprises, lots of joy, as well as change can be a little bit tiring and frustrating as we wrestle and navigate new terrain. Sometimes as God's people, we turn to lament in times of change. Other times we turn to worship and in thankfulness. We need to remember the words of 19th century, let's see if I can do this, Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane. He said, for all of us when we're dealing with the different things in life, for one look at ourselves, we need to take 10 looks at Jesus. For one look at the problems that you're wrestling around with or the confusion that you're facing, you need to take 10 looks at Jesus. It's a 10-to-1 ratio. How many of you know that when we get stressed and frustrated and hungry and angry and lonely and tired, we tend to take 10 looks at myself and maybe a glimpse at Jesus? And McShane is encouraging us to flip that around. And friends, as we focus our hearts on God, we're reminded over and over again, and I just get all emotional. And help me again to see the beauty of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a victory over sin, a victory over Satan, a victory over death. It gives us hope and a full and everlasting life in our worship of God. And we're encouraged on the journey by the incoming and overpowering and overcoming presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here with us this morning. You can almost sense it as you look around. The Holy Spirit is here with us now, comforting us, guiding us, helping us in our struggles, helping us to celebrate in our joy as He prepares us for the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Our series has been blessed by some very gifted speakers, including our pastors, Ryan and Nolan. Greg Lang from Multiply was here. Mike, Ray, Steve Chase, Vasile, Moses. And last week, the best! Kathleen came and shared, and I was away on the weekend, but I did listen to it. Chris and I listened to it, and it was a great blessing. So thank you to each one of those folks. You might want to give them a little round of applause for doing a great job. Friends, have you ever been on a long hike? How many of you here? Put your hand up. Have you ever been on a long hike? We're talking long hike. You know the long hike, right? The one that you are dead dog tired, the one with the blisters, the one where you forgot that item that you absolutely needed, you know, the rain that came. We always remember those rough and challenging hikes. And the journey of walking together in ancient Israel was the same as you and I taking our long treks and hikes. For the people of Israel, it was a day, several days trip or weeks trip up to the temple in Jerusalem. Three times every year they came at Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And it's very likely, as I was reflecting on this series, that Jesus himself made that trip multiple times up from Galilee to Jerusalem to worship God together with others. And they use those times of walking together to remember God's work in the past, to remember God's work in the present, to remember God's work in the future. And they did it together with thanksgiving, and they did it in obedience to God. Friends, when you get together, I'm just thinking of the Boulian family sitting back there. You know when that mafia got together earlier in August to celebrate the 40th anniversary of this beautiful young couple? You know, how many, you know, all the stories that you guys shared, you know, stories of up and down and God, you know, but when we get together, do we bring God into those stories? And really, that's what the children of Israel were doing. As they gathered together, God always managed to get into the stories that as they journeyed together. And as the people journeyed, they didn't just wait to get to the temple to worship. They worshiped God along the way. And the Psalms of Ascent are all these different songs that we've heard about over the last several weeks. And they were full of all kinds of emotions, anger, fear, joy, sorrow, comfort, loss, restoration. The Psalms are so full of emotions that John Calvin said this. He said that the Psalms are an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, for there is not any emotion, of which anyone can be conscious that is not represented here as in a mirror. We will never be able to say to God and the children of God, you did not experience what we experienced. They've experienced, and vice versa. So let's pray for a moment as we quickly reflect through the passage, and I'm just going to point out a few thoughts for us. Father, thank you that you've been here with us. You're always with us. Father, we're very dear to you. Thank you for Dara and his commitment to you, Lord. We are committed to walk with him. Father, thank you for the stories shared so well over the summer by different ones. We pray for your blessing in their lives. And Father, would you open our ears to hear what you want to say to us, especially this morning on this August 31st. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And together we said, amen. So briefly this morning, I want to look at three aspects of the last 15 Psalms that we've been looking at. We want to look backwards a little bit. We want to look at what's happening in our present and look to the future as well. And I'd love you to do that as I'm sharing, to just reflect on what's been happened in your life, what's happening in your life, and maybe your hope into the future. And so I'm going to spin through these really fast. And what I want you to do, I'm going to say the first part where it says, the psalmist cries out in distress to the Lord, and I would like you to say the cry part. So in Psalm 102, the psalmist cries out in distress to the Lord. In Psalm 121, the psalmist looks to God for help. 122, the psalmist calls out in worship. 123, the psalmist lifts their eyes to the heavens. The psalmist calls out in danger. The psalmist calls out in fear. The psalmist calls out in hope. The psalmist looks at priorities. The psalmist expresses blessings. Now you have to finish strong, okay? Don't fade on me. This is the big crescendo part. 129, the psalmist expresses their affliction. Ooh, yeah. The psalmist calls out from the deep. Mercy! The psalmist, whoa, hit the button twice, expresses the concern of the pride. The psalmist speaks of hardship. The psalmist calls for unity. And the psalmist speaks of blessing. Very well done. Now that you've been participating in the message, I want to keep you in. I want to do an interactive reading, okay? And trust me, there's a point at the end. And in this little narrative, I'm going to play the part of the narrator and the neighbors. You're going to play the part of the farmer. Now, the farmer, you're all in this together, the farmer has one line. And the farmer, all that the farmer says is maybe. And also the farmer goes, maybe. So can you do the action with me as well? Maybe. I'll prompt you when your part comes up. You'll figure it out real fast. Once upon a time, there was a farmer whose horse ran away. All the neighbors came around that evening and said, that's too bad. And the farmer said,
maybe.
Very good. The next day, the horse came back and brought 7 wild horses with it. And all the neighbors came around and said, that's great, isn't it? And the farmer said,
maybe.
The next day, the farmer's son was attempting to tame one of the wild horses. He was riding it, and he was thrown, and he broke his leg. And all the neighbors came around in the evening, and they said, oh, well, that's too bad. And the farmer said,
maybe.
You guys are doing good. The next day, the conscription officers came around looking for people to Shanghai into the army. They rejected the son because he had a broken leg. And all the neighbors came around that evening and said, well, isn't that wonderful? And the farmer said, well done. Like the farmer, the psalmist knew that life is very unpredictable. Right, Mike and Lindsay? Life is really unpredictable. But what the psalmist also, who's not a fatalist, he also knew that this was that even though we live in an ever-changing world, we can always rely on an unchanging God who is always with us, who loves us unconditionally, who's working good in all things, no matter how rough they may appear, where our circumstances are never beyond his reach, and who's open to all our questions, concerns, and fears. So briefly, what I'd like us to do is look at our present circumstances. Friends, where are you currently at in your relationship with God? Where are you currently at in your relationship with God? The cry of the world today is, I deserve this, I'm entitled to that, I want this, I need that. However, the cry of the heart of God's people who are surrendered to him is, Lord, we want your will to be done. Lord, we want it to be done in your way. Amen? Lord, your will, your way, in your time, in your strength, for your glory. And some of us Christians say, and please do it right now. But as believers, we need to remember this. We need to remember that God does not exist to tell our story. Rather, we exist to tell God's story. In our present circumstances, the cry of our hearts needs to be for grace and for perseverance. As Paul said, I'd like you to read the underlined parts with me if you could. Paul said this in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And James says, and I love synergy. Oh, Mike and I were having a moment. There you go. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wow, how many of you are looking forward to trials of many kinds? Because you know that the produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so and the author of Hebrews writes, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us. And let us run with the race marked out for us. Notice how that's highlighted. The pioneer, the author, the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So how do we persevere in our present circumstances? Scripture, the Holy Spirit, seem to suggest by word and testimony of others that by remaining in Christ, the one who never leaves us, who never forsakes us, by talking and listening to God through prayer, engaging with the living Word of God, being not just hearers, but what? Doers of God's Word. And by engaging in our church's vision, mission, we find the strength to persevere in our union and communion with God. It's really the call of the psalmist in the present to preserve and for us to persevere and rejoice and look forward into the future. The future. Where are we going? Friends, when it comes to the future, have you ever noticed that everyone has a theory, you know, about what's going to be happening, about when the Lord is going to be coming, and the day of the Lord, and the end of times? There's a million theories. This morning I was reading in Leeds, in the United Kingdom, in Leeds, which is up in north central UK, the town was going through a really rough patch. There was a lot of decadence, a lot of immorality, and people were running around with these signs, you know, the Lord is coming soon, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. And it was largely being ignored. And then one morning, a farmer, you can see my farm theme this morning, a farmer came and he brought an egg from his chicken. And on the egg of the chicken, it said, Christ is coming. And the people of Leeds were like, whoa, that is really weird. The next day, the chicken laid another egg and it said, Christ is coming. People started to take note day after day. All of a sudden, people started to repent. People started to realize, man, Christ could be coming. There was just a lot of anxiety around the community, and churches were starting to fill up again. And then someone found out that the owner of the farmer, rather devout believer, had been using this really caustic ink to engrave Christ is coming on the egg, and then he would insert it back into the poor hen, who would lay the egg again the next day and repeat the process. There are so many wacky and weird things out there about the end. There are so many voices, there's so much noise, there's so much speculation. But really, friends, are we listening to the voice that really matters? Of all the voices that you listen to, of all the media that you plug into, what are the voices that you're listening to? Amid the myriads of clamoring noise, there's really only one voice that we need to hear, and it's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10, 2 and 5, and I'm just going to close and make some quick comments. And I'd love you to read the underlying parts if you can see it. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and because, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because, friends, it may surprise you. The future, when it comes to the future, it didn't really trouble Jesus what was going to be happening next. He wasn't really preoccupied with what might happen. And in closing this morning, I'm just going to make four really quick claims about Jesus and his relationship with the future. The first claim is this: Jesus often refers to the future. It's really fascinating. You can look in Matthew 24. And he says this, I've told you in advance about all these things. He wanted them to know the facts ahead of time and help them out. He wants you and I to know the facts ahead of time and to help us out. That's why we have God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Jesus also, he rebukes people for not knowing the future. You know, you can get so caught up. How many of you are, I'm not going to ask that question. Tom, how often do you spend looking back? How often, Tom, are you wrestling around with the present? But really, Tom, how often are you fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, looking towards the future? Jesus rebukes those people for not knowing, not preparing themselves for the future. Friends, we can see the day drawing near. How can we see the day drawing near if we aren't even looking for it? Be alert, be aware, and be prepared. Jesus relates future truth to our present situations. You see that in John 14, where he says, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many what? Dwelling places, many rooms. And I'm going there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." Jesus is not only preparing a place for us, but he's preparing us for that place. Amen? Jesus is preparing us for the place that he has prepared for us. And finally, let me just say this, the last quick claim about Jesus and his relationship to the future. Jesus reveals the future so his disciples would rest in him. You know the little hen, there we go, the third farm narrative, running around, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. How many of you could ever relate to the little hen? And unless all of you put your hand up right now, I will not stop preaching for another 2 hours. All of you do. You are all a bunch of fretters, aren't you? Come on, just do this. It's therapy. Just put your hand up. There you go. All right, thank you. It's anonymous. It's unanimous, Jenny. I will now finish the message. But Jesus says these things that we would hold tightly to the Lord our God in whom we trust. And really, that's the message of the gospel. Friends, for us as followers of Jesus, the story of the end is one that no one really has to be afraid of. In fact, we should actually look forward to it with a sense of anticipation that the end of the world, as we sort of know it, will be ushered in a new world, a new heaven and a new earth will take place. I want to invite the worship team to come, and would you stand with me as we close in prayer this morning? Father, thank you for the gift of your written word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you inspired the writers. Father, would you now inspire and empower us as the hearers to go out and to be about the Father's business? For we ask all this in Jesus' name. If you'd like prayer for any reason whatsoever, please join us here at the front afterwards. There are folks that would love to pray with you. God bless you.